All right, good morning to you. We're going to start a new series today. We're going to talk to you about grace. You know, grace is an incredible subject to think about. You know, as I was working on this this past week, I my mind went back to something that happened to me years ago. I was visiting with my mother, and she always watched Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune every night. So I was watching Jeopardy with her, and of course Alex Trebek came on, and he introduced the topics for Jeopardy, and man, I'm telling you what, I just answered them just like these subject matters were. I remember one of them was the NFL, and then another one was the Bible. I'm like, two of my greatest subjects, okay? And I went through this. I'm telling you, I would have been in the lead when they took that first break, okay? But then it came to Double Jeopardy, and I couldn't answer one. And I remember my mother commenting when the first part of Jeopardy went on, and she said, "Man, John, you are really smart." And then when Double Jeopardy happened, and said, "You didn't know that one? You didn't know that one? You didn't know that one?" And I had to answer very few of the questions. You know, she made a comment, "Well, maybe you're not as smart as I thought you were." And you know, when I think about God's grace, and when you broach this subject, I'm here to tell you, you don't know nearly as much as you think you know about the grace of God. It's one of those subjects that if somebody asks us about the grace of God and what it means to us and what it's all about, we feel like that we can answer that. But when you think deeply about the grace of God, and I want to invite all of you and all of us to do that this morning, to think deeply about the grace of God. To not just skim the surface, but to think about it, pray about it, ask God about it, understand that to understand the grace of God, that it's to understand the grace of God both vertically and also horizontally. Because to understand the grace of God is to thank God for His love, but He says that if we love God, we got to love others. Greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second is like it, to love others as yourself. And so if we only make the grace of God about a vertical understanding, we're missing the real meaning of the grace of God. So these next few weeks is for seasoned saints. I see some of you out there today. Those of us that have been around the church, around the kingdom, you know, experienced salvation a long time ago. It's also for newer believers. Maybe faith is something that you are new to in the last year or 5 years or 10 years, that you don't go way, way back, but you're kind of new in your faith. It's also for those that are just exploring faith, that you're interested in God. You're a seeker of a better understanding. There's a vastness out there about the world and about the kingdom of God, and we all need to understand grace. And here's why, folks, because grace is more than forgiveness. Grace is more than forgiveness. These next few weeks, it's all about asking and praying to God, "God, teach me a new way. Teach me a new understanding. Teach me something that I really need to know and understand that will help me along the way." For example, a couple days ago, I posted a video of this recipe of this new breakfast creation. Okay, Roxanne, you know, and those of you that have seen it, you'll know what it's all about. But it's pancakes and bacon and maple syrup and gravy and eggs and everything all stacked into one beautiful concoction. But it was amazing to me how many of you all said, including my wife, "Yuck," or "Ooh." And others said, John, when you try that, make sure that you put a video on here. I think it will be awesome, and I plan on doing that. I may not share with anybody, but I am going to try that. You know, how are you? Do you have an aversion to trying new things? Most of us do. You know, if we eat a hot dog, we eat a hot dog the same way. I saw somebody one time, and they comment about me eating a hot dog with slaw on top of it. Like, just slaw. Have you ever eaten a hot dog with slaw on it? It is awesome. This person thought that was the dumbest thing they'd ever heard. You know, but listen, there's new things out there. And there's new things out there about grace. It's much more than forgiveness. God, teach us a new way. Let me start with a story. You know, a lot of times a story will help us understand what God is trying to teach us here. Now, this is not a true story. This is a fictional story that I've kind of made up. But I've seen every part of this story play out in sometimes in my own life and in the lives of other people. So in reality, it's a story based on a true experience, okay? And maybe it was your experience. There once was a wife who loved God and who wanted more than anything else for her family to love God too. But she was married to a husband who had a tremendous problem with alcohol. He was an addict. He was an alcoholic. And it affected everything about his life. And if you know anybody like this, when he was sober, he was a wonderful husband, he was an attentive father, and he was a provider for his family. But when drinking got a hold of him, it changed everything. A matter of fact, it changed so much to the point that he became abusive to his family. With words and things, but with his wife, it became even kind of a physical thing. So he wanted more than anything else to overcome this habit. She wanted more than anything else for him to overcome that habit. And she wanted more than anything else for her and her family to follow God's leading. But it just didn't happen. The family split up. The wife and kids went on their way and tried to find happiness. And he continued for years in his pattern of destructive behavior. And it was funny because people treated this woman as someone that was benefited by and from the grace of God. But they just had a real negative opinion about this young man and the struggles that he had. So let me ask you, who needed the grace of God? They both did. And that young man needed someone to demonstrate to him, more than anything else, the grace of God. That God loves him, but not only for salvation, but that God loved him and loved his wife and loved his family to the point that he wanted both of them to find all of the answers that they were looking for in him. You see, because grace is so much more than just salvation. Listen, folks, grace both forgives, but grace also guides. The grace of God will guide us. If you don't mind, let me jump ahead and share the passage here from Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. And notice how this verse enlightens us on this subject of grace. In verse 11, he says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." Grace more than salvation, isn't that what he's saying? Verse 13, "While we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself to us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify us for himself, a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good." So you think about this. Grace not only forgives, But grace also guides us in life. It helps us to make good and proper and godly decisions. Matter of fact, someone has said that you know, grace is always about heaven and hell when we die, and whether or not we experience that or the joys of God. But it also is about heaven and hell while we live. Because the grace of God, as it empowers us in our lives, as it shares with us God's salvation for us, He also guides us along the path that He wants us to take. Here's the thing, folks. If we wait until we've sinned to call upon the grace of God, we've squandered the greater part of grace. Because grace forgives, but it also guides. Grace also restores, but it also guards. You see, folks, when I experience the grace of God, it will not only forgive me, it will not only guide me, but it will restore me and it will guard me against all of the fiery darts that the enemy throws against us. You see, grace is not just for there and then when life is over, but grace is also for the here and now. Have you ever noticed? I didn't put it up here on the screen. I should have. You know, our logo. I'm sure you've seen it. How you got these four arrows, one coming down, one coming up, and then arrows from the side coming in. That, if you've ever attended class 101, I teach this. But that graphic, our brand, if you will, here at First Church, it's all about God's grace. Because God's grace is about the vertical relationship with God. God loving us. God giving us grace and mercy. But it's also about us sharing life together. Grace from God. Grace for and toward each other. But here's the thing, folks. Grace can instruct us and can help us in life so that we don't experience a lot of the pains and the hurts that sin can bring upon our lives. I was having a conversation over in the cafe before church started this morning, and I was moving kind of slowly, and I shared with a small group of people over there that I had used the chainsaw this past week. And you know what? I shouldn't use a chainsaw. I know my wife is delighted to hear this news. I should not use a chainsaw. Okay, but anyway, I thought I was going to cut down this limb that was in the way at our home, and so I get up there, and it's not a real big limb; it's about this big, and I put a ladder against the tree. It was this big. I put a ladder against the tree, and I got up there, and I'm going to chop this limb off. And it's funny because when I'm telling this story over in the cafe, one of the people there, I wouldn't dare tell you who it is, but her first letter of her name was Jimmy. She said, you didn't notch it at the bottom before you cut it? And I said, well, thank you for that pertinent information now. But I cut this limb off, and when it broke, the front of the limb fell to the ground. And when the back of the limb came loose, of course, it didn't fall like this. It fell like this. And it came back against me, almost knocked me off the tree. Actually, the limb, I would take my shirt off and show you, but you don't want to see it. I've got this huge, huge wound here on my chest where this limb just came down and just ripped right through. I was like, oh my goodness. But the thing about it was, I said, well, thank you for that information now. You see, folks, listen. The Spirit of God, working through the grace of God, wants to instruct us and help us so that we will not do the things that hurt us in our lives and in our faith. Look at what it says. Go back to verse number 12. He says, it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. What teaches us? The grace of God. Grace is not just about forgiveness. It's about so much more than that. You see, folks, this passage here in Titus chapter 2 is all about instructing us in what grace can do for us. Matter of fact, let me show you another passage here. This is Romans. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. I love this. Look at what he says. He says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Now, what's he saying there? He's saying that as we experience life, it's not just about eating and drinking and the kingdom and going through life, but it's about righteousness and peace and joy and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's about the grace of God working in your life. So as we look at this beautiful text here in Titus chapter 2 in verse 11 through 14, where he talks about the grace of God has appeared. And he not only offers salvation to all people, but he also teaches us and he instructs us in the ways of righteousness. You see, here's the thing, folks. Grace should be all-consuming. Grace is not something that you experience on the day of salvation and then you forget about it until you're trying to get through the doors of heaven, the gates of heaven. Nobody's heard, you know, that when you get to heaven, he's going to ask you if you got some things, and as long as you say, "Oh, I have the grace of God," oh, come right on in. That the grace of God is what's going to get us into heaven, because it's not going to be our works. It's not going to be our goodness. It's not going to be our righteousness. But everything that we don't have, Christ has provided in his grace and mercy. But here's the thing. Grace should be all-consuming. It's not just something that we think about at salvation and then when we're trying to get through the doors of heaven. Grace should be something that we think about every day. God, thank you for your mercy and for your love. Grace should be something that we think about when we deal with other people, because then we say, you know what? God has dealt with me with grace and mercy and love. I should return that favor to other people. That grace is not just something that we experience vertically. It's something that we share horizontally with other people as well. Here's the thing, folks. When you think about this idea of grace, there's some things that are familiar and some things that are unfamiliar. You know, the Apostle Paul here, when you think about this, he was writing to a young pastor. He was writing to one of his proteges. He was writing to someone that he wanted to be so successful in what he was doing and in his ministry. Titus. He had traveled with Titus. He had trained Titus. He had great affection for Titus. And what does he say to Titus about grace? He emphasizes the importance that as you experience grace and share grace, it's important to have self-control. You do remember that self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and what? Self-control. I have heard and read that self-control is the key to having all the other fruits. That without self-control, you never experience the other fruits in the fruits of the Spirit to the greatest extent that God wants you to. So when Paul is talking here to this young preacher and he says to him about grace that brings salvation, but how grace also brings instruction, and how grace allows us and gives us the power to live a life that is self-controlled, upright, and godly. You see, folks, if grace is only about forgiveness, why does the scripture talk about learning a new way of life associated with having and experiencing this grace? I mean, yes, we must pause and thank God that grace brings salvation. I mean, we all know Ephesians 2, verse 8. It's by grace that you're saved, not of yourself. It's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest we could boast. That the only way that we can experience salvation is by God's grace. So we should not make anything else a work. For example, there is a whole movement in Christianity when they talk about salvation. Salvation is always about faith. But you know what? He doesn't say that here either. We're saved by grace through faith. You see, faith is the avenue that we take to experience God. But we can't attribute our salvation to even faith. It's a free gift of God. And when we experience that through faith, he says, then it makes a tremendous difference. Thank God that it's all about salvation. That's the part we know. That's the part that's familiar. But it's just a start. Matter of fact, if you look at this, and let me end with a few thoughts here, because grace teaches us to say no. That's what he says here. Grace teaches us to say no. What he's saying here is that we should never feel like that we are totally trapped in our sin. You know the young man I described to you in the story? He needed to hear that. He needed to hear that. That grace in God and grace from God can teach you to say no. It can help us. He says it right there in Titus chapter 2, that we don't have to feel trapped in our sins and in our shortcomings. You know, the Hebrew letter talks about how, you know, we all have sins that easily entangle us. You see, those are the sins that we don't talk about very easily or a lot or maybe never. But everybody here has a sin that easily entangles you. Maybe they're different from other people's sins. But I'm telling you, folks, experiencing the grace of God can help you to say no. Grace teaches us also how to live. That there's so much more. That by understanding self-control and practicing self-control, we can experience so more wonderful things in the kingdom of God. So I say to you, I even say to myself, allow God's Spirit, allow God's grace to teach you. You know, for example, let's say that we have difficulty in responding empathetically and compassionately towards other people, regardless of what their situation may be. Maybe you have a family member that you just have an extreme disconnect from. Folks, if you meditate and think about and pray about and thank God for the grace that God has given to you, even though you were sinners, while you're still a sinner, God loves you, God died for you in the person of Jesus. You meditate on that, you think about that, you pray about that, you thank God for that, it will teach you. I guarantee you that if you spend time on that, you will slowly change how you treat other people, because you're realizing how God has treated you. Number three, God's grace fills us with hope. I mean, do you see the connection here? Verse 13, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. While we wait what? While we wait for that blessed hope, we meditate on, we experience, we realize, we understand the grace of God. You know, I guess in a nutshell, folks, here we just need to know that grace is the teacher, that we are the students, and all of life is the classroom. Don't relegate grace to something that you're thankful for the day that you experience salvation in Christ, and then the day that you need your ticket into heaven. Allow grace to guide you both in your relationship with Him and with everyone around you. And when we do that, that's when we will understand that grace is so much more than salvation, but that grace can help us each and every day that we live. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, I thank you for this wonderful, wonderful day. And Lord, I just hope that everyone here can experience my thought, Lord, that I had when I was playing Jeopardy. There's things about life that I know so well. And then there's other things about life that I know very little of. And God, as believers, I just think we need to come here this morning and recognize that while grace is a picture that we see and that we understand and that we appreciate, but Lord, that there's so many subtleties in the picture that we fail to see, that we don't recognize. And I pray today, Lord, that we would see the beautiful picture of grace today. Not only that grace is all about salvation, and we're so thankful for that, but that, Lord, grace is about so much more. It's about instruction. It's about power in the life of a believer. It's about living a life of self-control and a life of holiness. It's about looking forward, Lord, to that hope of Jesus Christ appearing. But Lord, it should never be something that's relegated to just two places, when we're saved and when we need our ticket into heaven. But God, may grace guide us in all that we do, in all that we say, in our lives each day. Father, may it be so. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.